Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology, three astrologers bringing you a look at the week and taking calls from our listeners. And this is Blog Talk Radio that you're tuning in to us on. This is Mark Wolf speaking to you from New York City.
And Ann Ortley, also from New York City, on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk, looking at a nice rainy night.
And Heather Rowan Robbins, this week, also from New York City, speaking from Murray Hill.
We had lunch with Heather today in the rain. It was very exciting.
It was wonderful to see each other again.
Yeah, she's in from North Dakota.
So we're trying to figure out how to get out to North Dakota for a visit. But in the meantime,
I look forward to doing it live from North Dakota someday.
I know. We can all call in from different phones in your house in North Dakota, right? So the week ahead is April 20th, 2009 to April 26th, 2009. So what did you guys notice about the fun week ahead?
Well, it's going to be a huge shift in energy. I noticed that we are already we have this kind of a highly emotional feeling quality tonight. I know I'm feeling that getting ready to leave New York, I've got tears in my eyes, but that's not just my tears. That's Venus and Mars in Pisces conjunct Uranus. So it's an emotionally reactive rain. It's a rainy night here in New York, but it can be a rainy, moist, or emotional night wherever you are. It can stir up your dreams. It can stir up laughter. It can stir up daydreams. But it may also bring whatever feelings are floating up to the surface, as if they're floating up on the high tide. But soon they're heading into Aries, one after the other. First Mars goes into its own sign and then Venus. And we move from feeling kind of wishy and passive and receptive and squishy to very active and dynamite. So the switch into the high energy action season, which can be pretty feisty as both of them move into a square with Pluto. That's going to be the key issue is we get ready now, we seed what we're going to be seeding on the most fertile new moon of the year in Taurus in a few days, and then we get ready to take action by the end of the week. That looks like the cycle that I'm seeing. What are you seeing, Mark?
Well, for those of you who have been listening to us for a while, you've heard a lot about Venus going retrograde, Venus in Aries, right? And Celeste Friday, Venus stationed to go direct again, and that was in that last degree of Pisces, and that's that squishy, squishy, receptive feeling. And now Venus moves back into Aries, and we get, a reprise of all that Venus in Aries energy, and this will be the third time through the first part of Aries. So Venus went through going forward, stopped halfway through, came backward through all those degrees, and now it's one more time going forward, this time accompanied by Mars. So she brought along, the ruler of Aries. And so we're going to see a lot of Aries energy, really, really strong. And you'll also remember that we've been watching this Venus-Pluto square. So we had a Venus-Pluto square as Venus went forward through Aries and as Venus came backward. And now one more time, we're going to get that square. And that'll be right after the Mars-Pluto square. So
you're in Aries. Tell us about how to deal with Aries energy.
Yeah. So it's really Aries energy coming in very strongly. And it'll show up a lot in our relationships because of the Venus part there. And it's kind of our will against our partners if we're not careful, right? So be a little careful of power struggles and just examine how you share and what is the right balance.
Yeah, I think of that Aries as fierce independence. And be fiercely independent and still connected and loving. But that's sometimes a bit of a challenge.
Right.
Yeah. Well, especially because she's talking with Mars right now. And so she's been, when she's retrograde, part of what happens is our illusions and delusions about love become clarified. We can become very disillusioned about love partners, or we can kind of look at our love life and make sudden changes to it because we get it. We're like, well, geez, you know, like I've been living with you for 23 years. Why don't I marry you like Dave Letterman did? So when Venus retrograde, we've all kind of gone back and looked, and also it starts a new 8-year cycle. So if you think back to spring of 2001, you started an 8-year cycle then that finished, and now you're starting a new 8-year cycle in your Aries house. And also pulling in your Taurus-ruled house and your Libra-ruled house, basically meaning the universe is saying to you, what do you deeply desire? What do you deeply want? What is your passion? How can you have more of your passion in your life? Define and qualify what your passion is. And Venus in Aries is very, very clear. She's either in or she's out. It's not a neutral Venus. It doesn't willy-wally and dilly-dally. It's in or it's out. And it's one or the other, and it doesn't worry about hurting feelings or making offense. It just kind of says, I'm in, I'm out. And it's either one of them, and it's off. So this week, when she joins up with Mars, she's talking to Mars, who's her guy. And Mars goes and gets her stuff. So she's going to be giving Mars, like, the instructions about what her dreams are, because she's meeting with him at the very last degrees of Pisces. So she's speaking about what her dreams are for the next 8-year cycle. So you should be thinking about what your dreams are for the next 8-year cycle this week and talking to Mars about them and talking to Venus about them and saying, this is what I really truly want. And then on the new moon, which happens when the sun and the moon join in the sign of Venus on the world axis, they say to Venus, oh, this is what you want? Okay, we can go get this for you. Because there's a point in the sky that makes us very conscious of what our desires are and what we actually meet the world, where we meet the world and we say to the world, this is what I want. And that's happening this week too. So really kind of focus on what it is you want, that passion. And that's the key with the week, I think. You know, with the fertile new moon and the passion of Venus and Mars dancing together, and both of them in very, very fast-moving and decisive signs. It's like really just sit and give yourself silence and say, this is what I want. And if you don't want it, keep your mouth shut because Mars is listening and he'll go get it for you. And if you do want it, speak up and know what your passions are. So I think it's a very passionate week too.
I agree with you. And I think that you've got the key word. It's what you want, not what you don't want.
Right.
Because whatever you focus upon as we hit the new moon will occur.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, Mars will go get it for you. And if you're focusing on what it's like saying, don't think of a pink elephant, you always think of the pink elephant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about what you don't want. Do think about what you do. Don't move into reaction. The way Aries energy loses power is by staying in reaction, staying in rebelling, and still letting the other person own the paradigm. If we stay focused on what we want instead, say, okay, I don't like that, but what do I want? That's not what I want, but what do I want? We can stay focused and use this in an empowering way. I don't think that's what we're going to see around the globe. I think this week we may see a lot of a military action as Mars-Pluto moves into square in Aries. I think we're going to see rebellion. I think we're going to see is sudden and intense reaction. That, again, is not creating the new paradigm. That's something we're going to have to deal with. Expect it around there. Your dogs will rebel. Your children will rebel. It's not personal. It's the Aries urge for self-determination. It's essential. So how do we take that urge for self-determination and run with it in a creative way? Hear it in ourselves, honor it in our children, we can direct it rather than dent it. We can hear that self-determination in struggling countries or in any people that haven't really felt heard, in the parts of us that haven't felt heard. How do we hear it and honor it and bank it, direct it without making it a confrontation? And only holding those confrontations that we actually have to. You might find that several people, or we find our ways out of a passive-aggressive response and into an aggressive response. That people stop just dragging their feet and then tell you what the problem is. Well, at least we get out there and we can deal with it.
Right. Right, because if you're not talking about it, it doesn't get dealt with.
Right. And but bringing it back home to us, we can feel that in a relationship. We start resisting the other because we project on them that they're in the way of our self-determination. But that's not the reality. Our love for them may be a conflict with our need for self-determination, but we need to take responsibility. Responsibility transforms the Aries into the higher level. It's not about them. It's about how can we be self-determined, and that's the higher note.
Yeah, hard to do this week.
We're likely to see a certain amount of this played out in sexual conflicts too. There is going to be sort of a testing between that Mars and Venus, and they're squaring Pluto. So, some of the stories we see may be a little on the bizarre side, and in the papers and all. But in our own lives too, we're sorting out some sexual roles and romantic roles, and seeing where the power lies. And the best way to use that is to look at how do we empower each other if we're in a relationship? In what way can I lend my sense of power to my partner, and what can I receive from them, and make that a power sharing situation?
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm kind of reminding myself when I keep looking at these energies of that the whole conflict now that's going on about the sex texting, where kids, teenagers, are taking naked pictures of themselves and mailing themselves off, and then getting charged with distributing pornography because it's themselves but they're naked. And that's a very good example of the imagery. It's kind of this is what I want to do, to assert my sexuality and my freedom, but at the same time I'm running up against a roadblock that says this is pornographic, even though it's me taking it consensually and mailing it to my friend, who then, of course, can do whatever they want to with it on the internet. So it's that kind of energy. It's like it can very quickly grow out of control and into a whole new way. So you want to kind of watch it because there's a volatility to it because it's fire, and it looks like a good idea, but it might not be so good. And so when we see that, we kind of go, okay, like let's look at this and say, well, what actually are you trying to accomplish? Because it can go way fast, really quick, and really, really off. The other thing is with the Mars squares Pluto at the end of the week, that's a war aspect. So we just had the people stomping and yelling down and, leaving the conference, stomp, stomp, yell, yell. It's a time where people are going to be more emotionally volatile. So I always find in situations like that is just quiet. Just kind of look at them, let them yell, and let them stomp off rather than engaging, because it can also very quickly escalate. Because Mars, in fire, is squaring Pluto in power over. So there's an exquisite sensitivity. If anybody feels like someone's trying to have power over them, people are just going to be reacting like, you don't have the power over me. You can't control me and tell me what to do. And it's like, are you really even trying to, or is that their vision of you? And it's understanding that power over energy is going to be very big this week too, because it's a self-assertion with the Venus and the Mars, but Pluto's going to say to them, hey, wait a minute, you got to play nice in the playground, or you have to cooperate with others, and neither of them are necessarily in the mood to. So the other part is maybe not even saying that you don't want to do something, but simply just going and doing what you want to do and letting the argument wait for a week or two. Or don't even argue, just kind of say, well, okay, that's fine. I'll catch you tomorrow, and then you go do what you need to do, instead of discussing it where it creates an argument. Because it's very much about people wanting to fight for the sake of fighting, rather than fighting because, because they truly need to. They're just in the mood to fight. And so I always find with those kind of energies is like, I just don't want to fight with you. I'm going to go home now. Bye. It's not always fun for the person who you leave mad in the corner, but I find it much more effective for me, personally. So, yeah. So I think it'll be interesting.
That's it. It does bring out that inner adolescent in us all.
Yeah.
And that if we find our own feelings really spike, and don't expect yourself to be mature as the week progresses.
Mature? What's mature?
It's not going to happen. Aries has a feeling that, my mood is in Aries, so I can say, much as the rest of my chart is nice and subdued, that Moon in Aries thinks that if it doesn't get its needs met this minute, it will never get them met. The rest of my chart has to talk it into it. But it's this urgency, and it's part of the urgency of spring that helps us renew and come alive every year. This urgency to start over, the urgency to change history, and that gives us the guts to make the changes. So it's beautiful, but it can be really uncomfortable in the process. And, you know, for the next few days as the moon in Pisces brings us into our deepest feelings, we're feeling sort of awash, and the sun squares Saturn today and tomorrow, or the sun semi-square Saturn, it's giving you logistical difficulties. And then the moon heads into Aries, Mars heads into Aries, the moon conjuncts Venus and then heads into Aries, and the energy builds up. On the 22nd, our tendency will be to say too much, do too much, speak too much, and act out. So watch it as Mercury squares Jupiter and everything lands into Aries. Give yourself, if you feel your feelings spike, go take a walk. Give yourself 5 minutes. Just take 10 deep breaths, just a little break between first impulse and action. As one Aries friend of mine said, you know, the Aries energy is ready, fire, aim. And if you can slow down and aim before you fire and think carefully about where you want to aim, and just take that little breath, and it breaks the momentum and makes a more considered, mature decision and uses Aries at the higher level of that self-arranging and self-empowering. Then we head on the 24th into the moon in Taurus and into the new moon in Taurus with some very nice, more supportive aspects that make it deeper, richer, more stubborn, certainly as passionate, but slow gives us, you know, the strength of the Taurus season to help us handle the Aries energy. This is certainly not a week to think that you can talk people into anything. But with that comes some really good juice.
Yeah, we'll really feel the Taurus part of the season now, you know. We get past the early spring, it's going to start to feel like the middle of spring. And that's emotionally as well as in the weather. We do have that kind of we've arrived feeling, and it's a good one. We can notice, too, that Saturn is at 15 Virgo, and it's going to stay there as it comes to a station. So Saturn, even though it's still moving a little bit backward, it's basically where it is for its station. And that's trying to this Taurus moon, because as the moon moves on through Taurus, it'll move into the trine to Saturn. And that's a good, solid, stable energy as well. So, you know, and the sun and moon, they're just separating from the trine to Pluto in the other Earth sign over there. And so we have, in that picture, the ability to use all this power in constructive ways. And we need to look to that grand trine in the Earth signs to handle some of this Venus-Mars squaring Pluto, all the excitement and the potential drama that's in that. We have also the stability of trining Pluto and Saturn. So being able to focus our power and be responsible for how we use it. And that's where we want to look whenever we're figuring out what to do with all that excitement with the Mars Venus.
Yeah. And
do we have any callers on the line?
Nope, no callers yet. I'm watching.
Not yet, okay.
Okay, the call number is
number
347-215-8881. So if anybody wants to call in with a question or has a question about how the week's going to affect them, feel free to give us a call. Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting, the whole process of, you know, the stock market now, too, because we've now Venus has gone direct. So now we're going to actually see, you know, they've been making a lot of noise. Oh, the recession is over, the recession is over. And it's like, nah, I don't think so, because today she went way down. And I think we're going to see increased volatility in the next couple weeks as Venus, you know, starts to move forward again over her points. Because she was going up when she was retrograde. Remember, she was going backwards. So her natural desire right now is to go down. That's the, now that she's moving forward again, she is going down. So I think we're going to have a lot of volatility in the stock market, especially as things kind of shake out or get more clarified in terms of how we're doing things. So it'll be very interesting to see her changes over the next couple of weeks. And also Saturn is approaching, you know, as he approaches his station, he's going to be coming back to the point he was at when the markets collapsed last fall. They collapsed on the same degree that he's going to be sitting on for a month. So I think we can anticipate some pretty significant market corrections as he gets back to that point. Hopefully not as bad as they were over the spring, but potentially even worse, or as they were last fall, but potentially even worse, because he is going to be parked at that point. And that point is a very active point in the stock market chart as well as in the United States chart. So we may have some currency issues or some issues with foreign countries around our financial situation, you know, the ongoing financial situation here. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, there was some talk back when this degree was stimulated by Venus a few weeks ago of China holding, you know, not carrying as much of our debt as they've been carrying. So if they cease buying our debt, you know, that could be a cause for it. Or there could be, you know, something we don't know yet. You know, there be dragons in that corner, you know, is kind of the way I feel about the energy, is it's like, it's pretty volatile, it's pretty big, and it's pretty dramatic. So the other part of it is that, you know, remembering to keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, you know, it's kind of one of those moments too. It's like, well, what can you actually do anything about? And if you can't do anything about it, don't worry about it and keep focused on the stuff you can do something about. That's the other part with this energy. It's very easy to get distracted into other people's dramas and other people's stories rather than focusing on your own. And the best solution, I think, is to focus on your own, or the best option of all of them. Yeah.
I don't think the work
actually,
is part of this. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, that is one of the key points there, is what can you do about it? Because, you know, if you get caught sort of on the edge of one of those dramas, the most helpful question you can give people is, well, what are you going to do now? What do you think is the best thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as soon as you start moving toward doing something, a lot of the excitement has gone out of the drama and, you know, the wasted energy in the drama itself just eases up. Mm-hmm. You know, you stop losing energy into, you know, because as soon as you make a decision, something changes.
That moves into that self-responsibility factor.
Exactly.
That will bring Aries to the higher note of empowerment versus reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we always see the stock market get volatile when Venus and Mars run close together, mm-hmm. especially close to Uranus, because the stock market runs so on emotional factors. But the Saturn-Uranus opposition that we're still right in the thick of, and as Saturn turns direct after retrograding, isn't done its work. I heard in my head when the stock market was first around 8,000 and going down, 6,500. And it got down there and it turned and went up again. But I think it's going back down close to that, because already people are thinking that we can go back to the way it was. And the aspects astrologically, you know, pulling back and looking at the big picture, we're in a several years major reorientation, reorganization that is era-changing. It's not a little correction. We can't just, you know, scold a few CEOs and go back to the way it was. We have to reorganize how we do business and how we structure the security of our lives individually. And, you know, watching the minute the stock market turns around and people start saying, oh, the recession is over, they're starting to move right back into business as usual. And until the work is done, we can't, until the restructuring and the reorganization and the re-regulation is in place, it's not going to happen. It's not going to take off. So we're going to still be cycling through for several years as we take one stage, we work through the limitations, start over again, start up again. And I don't want people to give up hope when it goes through these cycles. Just that whenever we do work that's this deep in the society, it takes a while. We have to cycle around. We just can't see around the corners that fast. And we can't back off from the depth of the work, which we do the minute the pressure is off.
Right.
So I hope, you know, that people don't get discouraged if it cycles. Not that it's not over. It's that we're in a process and it's working it. We're halfway across the ocean.
We're not even,
you know,
halfway.
We see a little bit of land. Right.
You we're know, only a, we're only 30
land,
feet off.
It's an island.
Yeah. No, we're not even. Yeah, we. It's like forever. We got another 3 years before we start getting out of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
At least, at a very minimum, 3 years. And you know that it's done. It's finished. It's done. It's like no, not happening. But the desire when they say that is to say to you, "Be feel safe." And the whole point of this process is to have you really examine on a really core level what is your security and where does it come from. And
right.
unless you've done that and really gotten crystal clear on it. And been then committed to doing the work to change it, to create that structure to hold it in place. Yeah, no, this is a long cycle, people. We think back on the last equivalent was the Catholic Church saying there were pedophile church people. It took 4 or 5 years before the Catholic Church forked over all the documents, and then they committed to the process of changing the behavior on it. We haven't even seen the bottom of this yet. We haven't seen the depth of it. And we can try and scrape it under the deck, but it's like ignoring the lump. You know, you've got a cancer, you have to take it out, and you have to fix it. And this is a major, major cancer in our organizations that we think of as holding us secure and safe. We have to clean it out or we're going to die. You know, the patient's not going to make it. It's you can't fool around with this. You have to do the work. And so saying, oh, it's over, I'm like, what are they trying to do by saying it? They're tired with it? It's not going away. This is not crisis of the day. This is a big, 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 big cycle that happens every 250 years. And on the other end of it, we're going to have a very different world and economy. So we have to kind of focus on paying attention to how do we participate as healthy, happy humans in helping our culture and our society transform. Because there's no lesser work being done than that. It's profound and huge, and it's like nothing we've ever experienced in our lifetime. None of us were alive 250 years ago when we last had this. It's revolutionary.
So if people feel urgent, it is urgent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the Aries energy, I think, gives us the guts to keep going.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to remember that we're part of a big, exciting change. To hold hands, have as much fun as we can in between, feel part of an important part of history, and don't despair. Mark?
You mean we're going to have a look at my credit card debt now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We haven't started that.
No. We haven't, haven't dealt with, usury interest rates at 30%, and then we give the money to the banks. There's a lot of stuff we haven't done yet. So when we watch all those changes coming, they're enormous, they're huge, and they're very, very profound. And to minimize them or to say, oh, yeah, the recession is over, it's like, no. No. We haven't even started yet. We've simply dug our toes in the water and noticed that the water is cold. You know, so
that whole finance thing is going to be one of the aspects of the Venus and Mars squaring Pluto this week. So
yeah.
We will.
Yeah, we can expect a very big drop. Yeah. So we're hearing from our British lady that our time is almost finished. So I guess we should wrap up. This went very fast.
Thank you all for tuning in. And this is, again, Access Astrology. You can look us up on our website, astronyc.com, astronyc.com. Mark Woltz from New York, Manhattan on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And Ann Ordley from New York, Manhattan on the east side.
And Heather Rowan Robbins temporarily near Grand Central, and heading back to North Dakota tomorrow.
She's going back to the snow and the rain. But she's going back to Jamie, her husband Jamie, and the dog too. That's always a good part. So tune in next week, folks, and tell your friends about us, okay? If you like it, and also feel free to email us with questions, comments, or concerns, because we'd love to answer them on the show.
Okay.
All right. So bye.